This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Up to Date wants to know what you're talking about with family and friends. You can text UTD to 816-601-4777 to tell us. Again, 816-601-4777. In recent days, Children's Mercy Hospital reported that the hospital is at capacity or near it almost every day due to rising rates of RSV and the flu. The University of Kansas Health System is full as well. In fact, both hospitals are getting calls from other overtaxed healthcare centers in the region, hoping that the two hospitals can take patients. RSV, with its runny noses, coughing, and loss of appetite, is causing much of the problem. Here to give us an RSV update is Dr. Marianne Jackson. She's dean of the UMKC School of Medicine and Children's Mercy Hospital. Dr. Jackson, always good to have you here. Welcome back.
Good morning, Steve.
How bad is it getting out there right now?
Well, ironically, we are starting to see maybe a little bit of a curve in RSV disease. And what's ironic about it is right about this time every year is when we start seeing it. So based on the COVID pandemic change in the seasonality of our viruses, we had the early onset of RSV that coincided with an early onset of influenza and really tasked our healthcare systems.
So you're saying RSV is beginning to wane just a little bit?
Just a little bit. Over the last 2 weeks, we can see a little bit of a plateau, and hopefully this will be on the downward turn. Having said that, we're still seeing lots of children with RSV, lots of children with influenza, and still some children with COVID and other viruses.
And what's especially concerning this year, it seems to me, is that we're seeing this so much earlier than we typically do, as you just alluded to. Should we be worried about that?
I don't think we need to be worried about it. I think we're going to see a seasonality that gives us about our typical 12-week course of RSV and our 12-week course of influenza. But I will tell you that on the influenza side, the peak is very steep and is showing no signs of slowing down at this point.
The climb is very steep, you're saying.
The climb is
very
steep, exactly.
And that's what you hear, this idea of a perfect storm for hospitals. That's two legs of it, with COVID being the third leg, right?
That's true. And there are other viruses that are circulating too, including pink eye virus, for instance, and rhinoviruses. So it's not just one. And what's important to know is you can have RSV and influenza and another virus at the same time. It's not unusual for children to have two viruses at the same time. And then RSV, what most people don't know about RSV is it is a serious virus in adults over the age of 65.
Oh, really? I haven't heard much about that.
So for adults over 65, the estimate is it will cause 150,000 hospitalizations this year, and as many as 8% of these frail adults will die from RSV.
So remind us again, what is RSV? That's a new term for a lot of Americans this season. What is it?
RSV is a respiratory virus that's spread by droplet. Its seasonality is very tried and true. And over my 30-year career, I've seen RSV always start in November, end in April, causing significant hospitalizations in the very young and in certain children with heart disease, for instance, or neuromuscular diseases, and then leaving and not showing up again till the next year. Hmm. With the COVID basically eradicating any other viruses during 2020, we saw a late summer, fall outbreak of RSV last year, and now we're seeing this earlier onset this year, along with influenza having an early onset, which is not unheard of.
If you're a parent, how would you know if your child has it? If you're over 65 and you catch it, how would you know?
So RSV, influenza, COVID, other viruses, the symptoms overlap. In young infants, it's typically fever, cough. Often children will have vomiting and diarrhea with influenza, but not with RSV. In the adult population, it's often cough, congestion, and then over a period in both groups, in the youngest and in the oldest, over a period of 4 to 8 days, symptoms may progress, and some patients develop pneumonia, and that's when it becomes serious.
How can someone tell what he or she has?
Testing is really the only reliable way to tell which virus you have. And what's important about this is there are no antivirals. There is no vaccine for RSV. However, for influenza and COVID, there are vaccines for both. There is good treatment for both influenza and for COVID in certain instances. It would be recommended by physicians. And for the most part, RSV is symptomatic care. What we're doing is making sure that the children are well hydrated and they have fever control. And if they become dehydrated or breathe fast, that's when they need to see a physician.
I've read that there may be a vaccine for RSV in Europe.
The RSV vaccine is coming. And some very encouraging data was revealed at our most recent infectious disease meetings. And that is a maternal vaccine appears to protect young infants, 82% of them, through 90 days of age and even some after that. So what we'll see in the future are two different things, a maternal vaccine to protect the very young and then an RSV vaccine for those 65 and older.
When you say a maternal vaccine, what are you referring to?
I'm referring to a vaccine that would be given to pregnant women. And we do this already. We give influenza vaccine to pregnant women. It protects those babies who are born to them because the antibodies that develop in the mom actually pass through the placenta to the baby. Huh. The same would be true with RSV vaccine. The same is true with COVID vaccine.
So there's no shortage of business in your line of work. The hits just keep on coming to hear you talk about all this.
You know, it's really interesting because in the early days of antibiotics, there were some who said, well, we think we have this all under control and maybe the infectious diseases will just go away. Remember, this is many, many years ago, and that proved not to be true. And it's an important point, too, to say that antibiotics do not work for these viruses. And so for those people who think because their children are coughing and runny nose, and the mucus is turning green, that might mean they need an antibiotic. That is absolutely not true. There are only certain instances where children with viral infections will develop what we call a bacterial superinfection, where those antibiotics might be needed.
I was glad to hear you say that maybe we're on the downward side of a curve right now with RSV, at least slightly. But still, hospitals have been really jam-packed in their wards that deal with this issue, and regional hospitals trying to get help from the big city hospitals. This is reminiscent of where we were a couple of years ago with COVID, isn't it?
So it's almost the perfect storm here in terms of hospital capacity. And the reason for this is that we've lost a lot of nurses, and we have actually seen an exit of physicians from the profession. And so in the wake of COVID. And so the number of beds we can actually staff across the country is fewer than what we had, say, 5 years ago.
That's really unsettling to hear that.
It is. I think, you know, there are dimensional ways where we're addressing that, and we'll recover over the next year or two. But for right now, the number of beds that we have is not the number of beds that we need. And so we're going to have to understand how do we create that bed capacity. And across the country, people are faced with this.
So when should parents go see a doctor with their child if their child's struggling with symptoms of RSV?
So it's really important to know that if your child has mild symptoms, you don't want to go to the doctor. You don't want to sit in a waiting room. That may be a vector for spread of other viruses to your child. So what parents really need to look at, are they eating? Are they sleeping? Are they drinking? And what do their respirations look like? And do they have good fever control? And so if all of those things are happening, you know, really work on fluids in a child with respiratory viral symptoms. Note their cough, but if they're not having any difficulty breathing, that's a good sign. And most of the instances of children with mild disease, they do not need to be seen. But for children who are dehydrated, are having difficulty breathing, they may need IV fluids, they may need oxygen, they may need to be in the hospital for 2 to 5 days usually.
Well, the respiratory issues, struggling to breathe, that's what's going to panic parents the most here in
Absolutely.
Cases like this.
And they can look for a couple different things, either nasal flaring, where the nasal alveoli actually flare out. They can look at the respiration. So when their child's shirt is off and they look at the child's chest, looking for rapid breathing and looking for at the diaphragm and around the neck, if there are an increase in the effort to breathe in and breathe out, those are going to be the important signs for them to look at.
So what happens if a mom or dad sees some of these troublesome symptoms you're describing, Dr. Jackson, and they take a son or daughter to the hospital, but the hospital's at capacity? What happens?
So the first thing that happens is this. We have good triage, and triage means somebody's going to get out there and look at your baby and often get vital signs initially. If those vital signs are reassuring, you may be sitting in the waiting room for a period of time until it's time for you to be seen. So what we try to do is identify the babies that immediately need to come back for care, and we take care of those babies. And so that's what's most important. And triage for those of us in pediatric offices, for us in emergency rooms, in urgent cares, this is something we're really skilled in doing.
Why has it taken so long to develop a vaccine for RSV, given the fact that you just said a few minutes ago, it's been around for so long, in contrast to COVID, which is a relatively new phenomenon, and we have a vaccine for it already?
Well, the story on RSV is vaccines is many years ago, when they attempted to make an RSV vaccine, what they found was when it was deployed, it actually made children sicker. And so for a very, very long time, there was a moratorium on even moving forward in looking at RSV and designing a vaccine against that virus. So many years later, here we've really figured out that there's a fusion protein that attaches to cells that we can prevent entry into cells. So we've really found the formula to give us a good and safe vaccine. But that many years ago was the troubling part of the story of RSV vaccines that really produced maybe, a 30-year moratorium on moving it forward.
So that really slowed things down, and here we are today still dealing with it.
So it slowed things down, but I will tell you that right now there's not just one. There are a couple different RSV vaccine candidates out there. Plus, there are some newly designed monoclonal antibodies, and those monoclonal antibodies, similar to what we have for COVID, can be given to high-risk babies to prevent them from getting RSV infection. So there are a lot of different tools coming on board for RSV in the future.
Interesting. It always is. That's Dr. Marianne Jackson, Dean of the UMKC School of Medicine. She's also affiliated with Children's Mercy Hospital. Dr. Jackson, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Good to see you, Steve.
Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.